We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Hey, Everballers. Navy Federal is proud to serve over 8 million members and is open to active duty military, the DOD, veterans, and their family members. Receive a lifetime of membership benefits like a credit card APR average that is 4% lower than the industry's, member-only exclusive rates, and more. Visit NavyFederal.org/solid for more information. Call 1-888-842-6328 or download the Navy Federal Credit Union app today. Message and data rates may apply. Visit NavyFederal.org. for more information.
Welcome to the Solid Verbal.
The Solid Verbal.
Come after me! I'm a man!
Hello, I'm Maria Kondo.
Welcome back to the Solid Verbal, boys and girls. My name is Ty Hildenbrand. Joining me, as always, over there in New York City, my man, Dan Rubenstein. Sir, how are you?
Ty, I am ready to shed some virtual poundage.
Yeah, buddy.
I am ready to clean up my act. I'm ready for this show.
So we teased this show on Twitter. Mm-hmm. I teased this show on Twitter. It's something that we've been working on for, what, two and a half weeks now? We thought maybe it'd be a novel concept. It truly is peak off-season Solid Verbal.
Mm-hmm.
The only time of year you're ever going to find us do a show like this. But we've got a little something special for all y'all this evening, Dan. Perhaps you have heard of a show called Tidying Up with Marie Kondo on Netflix.
Marie Kondo, yes.
It is all the rage right now. It's a Netflix original. It stars Marie Kondo.
Mm-hmm.
She's a 4'7" tiny Japanese woman who teaches people what she calls the KonMari method of decluttering their houses. Really, it's a show about life. It's not just about cleaning your house. The Solid Wife really got into this with all italics. Got into it. She got my mom into it. So then Mama H got Uncle Joe Colarusso into it. This is a worldwide sensation, and it has fully taken hold of my family. So I started thinking, Daniel, can we apply the KonMari method to the Solid Verbal podcast?
Can we declutter the virtual college football house that we have built a foundation upon over many years, as it is now April 4th, we're recording this.
Right.
And it's their spring practice. So we're sort of rebooting and refreshing our brains for not just the off season, but the season to come and what everything means. So in a way, we're not only decluttering this house, but we're decluttering our minds, which is what the KonMari method is, to sort of breathe fresh air for the first time in a long time by decluttering your life.
So here is the way that the method works. The first thing you do is you go through all the clothing, then your books, then your kitchen, bathroom, and garage. then all your paper, then all your sentimental items.
Miscellanea. Yeah.
So that's what we're going to do here today. We're going to take a look at all the stuff, all the items that we've collected, emotional and otherwise, over the last decade of college football podcasts. And we're going to put it all in a giant pile. Going to thank everything for its support, of course, yeah. An essential of the KonMari method. Going to thank it. But then we're going to figure out what's going to spark joy and what goes with us into the future or what we're going to leave behind. So a good example.
Yeah.
Right now I'm wearing the Georgia Tech Capital One Orange Bowl champions hat that you sent me a couple years ago.
You absolutely are.
It still sparks joy. So I play this and I'm going to hold on to it.
I like hearing that. So we're selecting items as we rampage and ransack this college football house that spark joy that they has to stay in our lives.
That's right.
Otherwise, we're donating it to the great college football beyond, thanking it for all that it has done for us. And moving forward, perhaps somebody else would find it to be more useful in their lives.
I think that's the responsible thing to do.
We should stomp through this house, Ty.
We
got a lot of stuff.
We got a lot of stuff. Before we go any further, don't forget solidverbal@gmail.com. As always is the email. Find us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. We've got a subreddit out there started by Verballers for Verballers. It's reddit.com/r/solidverbal. And don't forget to join our newsletter. Dan and I are working on a bunch of stuff in the laboratory. If you want to sign up for the newsletter of intent, it's free. We won't spam you. Just go to solidverbal.com, our website, fill out the form, and get yourself signed up. Where do you want to start? Why don't you be the first to rummage through this decades-old podcast house that we've constructed?
Yeah, it's not all closed. Let's start here. Let's start with... Oh, gosh. Okay. Let's start with, I've got this old and it's sentimental. It's a Notre Dame hard candy tray.
Oh, God.
And it's been passed down from generation to generation. I don't really eat hard candy. I'm not really big on the Werther's, the Reese's, for like this, it is an heirloom, Ty. And it would feel weird to have a hard candy tray emblazoned with Ara Parseghan's face anywhere. Anywhere but my coffee table. So it does spark joy making fun of the elderly and Notre Dame. I would say especially after going to the playoff and getting everybody's hopes up and just getting completely demolished, to have probably a fan base upset about going undefeated and finishing that way is, I have to keep it close to my home.
Where did you get the Notre Dame hard candy tray to begin with?
I don't know. My pappy's grandpappy was the one who originally had it. And it's just been passed down from Rubenstein to Rubenstein. You know, the Rubensteins are from the Northeast in this country. So somebody probably liked Notre Dame or just liked laughing at other Notre Dame fans enough that they thought it was ironic to keep it on their coffee table. So I am making fun of elderly Notre Dame fans sparks joy for me. So it's hanging around. It's not too big. It's not too cumbersome. And there will be butterscotch stains over Ara Parseghan
What is our rule here on sparking joy? Does it need to spark joy for both of us in order to keep it in the podcasting house or just one of us?
Just one of us. We each get to make calls on the various various items.
All right. It sparks joy. We'll keep it around.
The butterscotch stained Ara Parseghan.
Let me rummage through this drawer here for a second. This could be a little bit emotional for me. I've got here a keepsake that was given to me by both TCU and Ole Miss. One of those little heart cards on it that says, "From the both of us."
Yeah.
I have had this in my possession since about 2004. As you know, I've been very tight with TCU and very tight with Ole Miss.
Yeah, you're holding on to a love of a bygone era.
For as long as I can remember. The thing is, every time I'm ready to move on, I see one or the other out at Wegmans. And it's like, you know, they change their hair. It's like, oh, maybe we could grab coffee sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually you get close enough and you realize, ah, this isn't working. So it's this constant seesaw that I've been on over, I'm being honest here, the last 15 years of my life with TCU and Ole Miss.
In your darker moments, you will retreat to your closet and find that old Landshark's jean jacket.
That's right.
Smell it.
That's right.
Just get up in there and smell the Landshark of days.
The Robert Kemdiche t-shirt jersey still sparks joy.
Okay.
But the question is, what about this keepsake?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's time to move on. It gave me a lot of good years, Dan. A lot of good years. But I cannot be at a place in 2019 where I'm still going on Facebook and looking up TCU and Ole Miss to see what they're doing, to look at the latest pictures. This keepsake is just a bitter reminder of bygones. I think I need to move past. I'm married now.
I know.
What the hell?
It's time.
I need to move past my TCU and Ole Miss thing, and this keepsake is really just bringing up bad memories.
Yeah, you should have gone on an Eat, Pray, Love journey to really fully get over Ole Miss and TCU by now.
So I'm going to thank it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We'll give it one final play here, this little music box.
So does this mean...
We'll send it on its way.
Does this mean officially you will be down on TCU and Ole Miss come August?
It doesn't mean I'll be down on TCU.
Or that you won't be up. You won't be high on them.
I'm going to be very ambivalent.
Okay. You've been hurt.
I have.
Okay. You're human. Okay. Let's move on throughout this house. Let's go outside. I'm looking at this Jim Harbaugh backyard trampoline. And I say to myself, I've had some good times. It was pricey, for sure. But there's something inevitable about a backyard trampoline.
Do you think trampolines are a good idea?
I think trampolines, when you are caught up in the moment, they are defensible. It's, you can, you know, hours of fun. You can do all, you can put it by a pool, a basketball hoop. They're versatile. You know, you can, if you're athletic enough, you can do flips. You can bounce people who are sitting on. There's, yes, I think trampolines are mostly fun. But there's always a dark side. It doesn't matter if you put netting around it. Doesn't matter if you hire new coaches.
The netting is never high enough for a trampoline.
It's never high enough. It's never strong enough. It, you know, moving on to a new offensive coordinator is, yes, it's the sensible move. But is that what truly ails the trampoline, or is it the trampoline itself? And so I'm going to thank this trampoline for giving me years and years of fun and fodder. But I think it's time to donate this trampoline. You know, you're only supposed to own a trampoline for so long. Kids grow up and move out. And I think it's time for a new stop for this trampoline. I don't want to put this trampoline out, you know, on the curb. I want to find a good owner. But the Jim Harbaugh backyard trampoline, for me, I'm not sure that it has an everyday use anymore for me.
Trampolines are a bad idea, man. I'm telling you. They're a
bad idea.
I don't
think Jim Harbaugh is a fully bad idea. But I think there's something inevitably dark about the trampoline experience.
You always see YouTube videos of the trampoline blowing over in gale force winds or someone going a little too far.
Well, it's
far.
The double jump and all of a sudden somebody tears an Achilles.
That's right. So I was going to go there next. But
yeah,
sometimes you stray a little bit too far from the center. There's always a chance of cracking your head on the side. Yeah, it's just not a good idea.
Do you have a personal favorite, as we go off into a tangent, but also it's related to the home, sort of, a personal favorite type of YouTube fail category?
I know what yours is. The old QVC fails of the guy falling off the ladder. Of course, these are all horrible things that make us sound like terrible people, but
fails in which clearly the person is not seriously debilitated.
Yeah. So there's an old QVC ladder fall video. If you Google that one, that's an old-time favorite. There's one with the guy and the samurai sword where the sword breaks on QVC. Anything caught on QVC generally will make me giggle.
Mm-hmm. I like that. I have two. The first is wedding dances gone awry.
Okay, sure.
When a couple really goes for it practicing and they're going to swing dance and there's a toss and then somebody goes through a table. Mm-hmm. That gets me. That is right up my alley. But my main fail jam that I would like to spread on my brain toast, Ty, is little kids in Power Wheels.
The Power Wheels fail, right?
Power Wheels fails are just, you know, out of control down a hill, falling asleep at the wheel and doing donuts. I just can't get enough. So trampoline fails are not up there for me because it's just too dark.
All right. Let me go through this here. This is probably going to be an easy one.
Mm-hmm.
Just pull this out of the closet for a second. What do we want to do with this sexier than Edsel board game that we have from Parker Brothers?
It's so specific. It was given away at an early September game.
And I think we got this.
Really,
we got this at a UConn yard sale, didn't we?
We did. Very expensive.
I think I speak for both of us.
Yeah, it's the new Guess Who.
Yeah. Okay.
You got to flip down tiles. All right.
Let me go back in the box here. I've had this one wrapped up for a while. I pull it out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what, every August, September. This is the Is Texas Back needlepoint throw pillow.
Oh, okay.
So this
Somewhere
was given,
to rest your head.
This was given to us on one of our 8 trips to South by Southwest.
Mm-hmm.
The question of whether or not Texas is back has been a recurring one, as you know. We've been doing the show. It's going to be for, I don't know how many years now, 11 years.
Hug it close to you. Hug it close to you.
We've been wondering when Texas is going to be back forever. And so having this throw pillow close to us always is something that just constantly reminds us of the fact that Texas is not back, Dan. Where do you stand on this?
I think it ties the room together. That's where I stand.
Yeah.
I don't want this home to look like a model home. I want it to look like us. And so, especially you love this question. It sparks and a weird amount of joy for you. I couldn't imagine you owning a couch without your Texas Is Texas Back throw pillow.
See, this is a very close relative of that keepsake I got from TCU and Ole Miss.
Mm-hmm.
Because Texas being Texas...
But this serves a purpose. This has a function.
Texas being Texas was in the lexicon, I think, even before TCU and Ole Miss. But certainly, you could put your head down on this. It can comfort you.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I'm just going to go ahead and say it still sparks joy. Like you said, ties the room together. Still an essential part of what we do here in this podcasting house.
So does this theme mean that you don't want Texas to be back? You do want Texas to be back, to whatever that actually means? Or that you relish bathing in the purgatory that is Texas football, perhaps starting out really well and having people rush to saying Texas is back, or by the end of the season, having it be sort of open-ended like it was after last year, where there were some down moments and close calls and ugliness, but winning the Sugar Bowl brings about this throw pillow to the forefront, that it is a centerpiece of your college football's brain living room?
The answer to all of your questions is no.
Okay.
I look at this. This is a podcasting house that we are rummaging through here.
Right. Sure.
Look at all the crap we got in this house, okay? We've gathered this for well over a decade here.
Yeah. No, it's all here.
I don't want Texas to not be back, nor do I want Texas to be back. I enjoy the fact that as a podcast, we can continually ask the question whether or not they are. And depending on who you ask, people see different things. But that's part of what makes it amusing to me. It's just the question that is never answered.
You really liked the last season of Lost, didn't you?
I never saw Lost, Dan. Can you believe that?
That's weird. People that enjoy that last season are just garbage TV watchers.
Never saw it.
That's like a big J.J. Abrams thing. Like, it's not the answer, it's the question.
Okay. Well, there you go. That's kind of where I'm at with this.
All right. Our next item, the dependable, as I rummage through my closet, and we all have items where of clothing, where it's not that it's the most stylish thing, it's not that it's the most comfortable thing, but you really just feel like yourself, right?
Sure.
Whether it's a button down or a pair of jeans or shoes or socks, where it's just difficult to get rid of it because you're like, oh, this is just a classic item in my wardrobe. Mm-hmm. And as I'm going through this, something just fell. My Northwestern cardigan.
Okay.
That, you know, you don't really have to wear in September, which is good because it's rough in September for Northwestern. But come October, there's something very comforting about light warmth tie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not going to do all sorts of heavy lifting come December or January. You know, it's not a parka. It's not a puffy jacket. It's not a coat. It's not a pea coat. But there's something very comforting. Like, ooh, I'm just gonna throw on this cardi.
Yeah.
And really just enjoy this fall walk on some leaves. And I can always depend on that cardigan just feeling soft on my skin and keeping me just a little warm. But come some challenging days, come wintry mix days, come sleet days, come thunder snow, I can't depend on this cardigan.
I mean, you can't wear a cardigan in thunder snow, Dan. You'll
no, absolutely
at.
Not. I think it's time to thank this cardigan for all that it has done in making me feel like me. But
I mean, it's dependable, Dan.
It's dependable. It's 100% dependable. What's better than a crisp fall walk, Ty? But I think I'm upgrading. I think I need some more fleece in my life. I think I need a hood in case it starts to sprinkle. And the cardigan, while comforting, is something that I'm just not ready to fully enjoy anymore, knowing what else is out there. And so I tip my hat to you, Northwestern, but I need something stronger later in the season. That's what I need. I know you beat a team like Notre Dame a few years ago. I know that did you well in the wind, but come Ohio State, come Michigan, being pretty warm is not good enough for me anymore.
Bygones be bygones. Let's go.
Bygones
Let's move
bygones.
On. Here's
what do you have?
This is actually still in the box.
Okay.
And I'm a little bit afraid to spray it.
You're going to get to it, but you just haven't yet.
It's still in the box. I'm afraid to take this out and spray it because, as you know, it's rather intoxicating. I think a lot of people who listen to this show may have this in their closet as well. I'm talking about that old vintage 2005 USC cologne.
Ooh.
That we got. You see that all the way in the back corner?
I like it. Most of the team is now on Fox Sports.
That's right.
It has a distinct smell. You immediately know what you're looking at and seeing, and those are the same things, and smelling and just the general vibe when you're around somebody. Maybe it was you. Wearing that USC cologne.
Do we want to keep this around? First off, I don't know what this smells like if I spray this.
It smells like the sweat of Lofa Tatupu.
Okay. If the solid wife comes in here and smells this, she'll be none too pleased. I think we need to get rid of this. I actually think that this has done more harm than good to USC fans, certainly to Clay Helton. having that old USC cologne around is not doing anyone any favors. That being said, that old USC team was so much fun.
I mean, there are many of them. I don't know if there's a specific.
Well, I've got the
bodies.
I've got the ticket from the 2005 Notre Dame USC game, the Bush Push game that I was at, laminated and up on the studio wall here.
Yeah.
So I'm willing to hold on to that as my memorabilia from the USC teams gone past. And not so much this cologne, which once it gets up in your nostrils, it's just, you can't get rid of it.
And it's a lot.
It takes you over.
Yeah, and there's something that is very disarming in a bad way about walking into a room and like, oh, USC guy. Okay, I know what we're dealing with here. Yeah, he's going to bring up Pete Carroll. Cool. Cool. She's talking about 2004. Wow, that is 15 years ago. There is something that is alarming and almost, I don't want to be too mean here, but predictable.
Right.
And I want some change in my life. Yeah. I want something new. There's just something stale about this old cologne. And I don't have a problem with cologne in general, Ty. let's upgrade the scent. We don't all need to smell the same. We don't all need to do it in an identical way. So
the final point here on USC, and it's not relevant so much to the cologne as it is the current state of USC, but I had a big gathering here last weekend, big fantasy draft, fantasy baseball draft. And one of my friends is a diehard USC fan, huge USC fan. And the question in the room for him was, do you like Clay Helton? How do you feel about Clay Helton?
That's so mean.
He looked very casually at the room and said, I like him, just not as the coach.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Which I thought was a good answer. Good way to answer the question. Everyone likes Clay Helton, the man. As a coach, different story.
That's like the ultimate real life listen.
Exactly.
He's a good guy. Also, Lofa Tatupu was not on the 2005 squad. So the USC cologne smells like a sweaty Brian Cushing.
That sounds about right.
Brian Cushing after wind sprints, if you can let that fill your nose.
All right, where are we going next here?
All right, next, let's go to, oh, I like this one, Florida State and the bird feeder that they've brought to the world.
Okay.
Obviously, a bird feeder is something you use to attract some, you like a good bird, Ty?
I do like
you
a good
birding.
I am an avid birder, yes.
Do you have a bird feeder in your backyard?
I have two.
Two bird feeders?
Actually, no, I have three. I'm sorry. I have
three bird feeders.
I do.
A bird feeder, when it's working properly, attracts birds, feeds birds, gives them a sanctuary, a place to sort of relax, develop as birds.
Develop.
You know how people talk. Really develop their song.
They stop by for some multiplication table, sure.
Yeah. The Florida State bird feeder is a nightmare. It's leaking seed.
It's never filled.
The walls are collapsing. It's never filled. You think a bird is going to come, and then the bird just flies over to the North Carolina bird feeder. It's something that I thought was going to be a really good idea. I thought, man, this bird feeder is going to attract so many quality birds to my backyard, and it's really going to be the centerpiece of this this area of my house.
And all you got were squirrels.
I got a lot of squirrels, a lot of pests. Yeah. It's, you know, a lot of holes in the birdhouse. The construction of the bird feeder and the birdhouse on my part was shoddy. And I think it's just
time to cut bait.
I built the birdhouse.
Whoa.
With the Florida State instruction manual, and really thought I was going to do a good job, but it seemed like I got a lot of great birds nearby.
Right.
It should be nothing to get them into my backyard. And it's just been a nightmare so far, Ty.
Do you have a big backyard in Brooklyn?
Huge.
Yeah.
Huge.
Okay,
uncommon. Right. Uncommon. But the idea was sound. I stand by the idea, but my execution, I think, has been problematic. And I just am going to go a different direction.
So if I understand correctly,
I'm going to thank myself.
You are taking responsibility for.
Yes.
The struggles.
I am.
The trials and tribulations of the Florida State bird feeder.
Does that mean a new birdhouse could be a good fresh start? I don't know. But this one is not working out so far for me. And so that's my fault. I'm moving on.
I haven't played with these in forever. Listen to this. Okay. Are you listening? Can you hear?
I'm listening. Wow.
That is my Alex Hornibrook limited edition series of pop guns.
Okay.
I got these from an adoring Wisconsin fan many moons ago. As you know, I've got this thing for pop gun arms in college football. And it goes all the way back.
Who was the original?
The original was Bryant Moniz from Hawaii.
Okay. I was going to say Timmy Chang, but I got the wrong Hawaii quarterback. Yeah.
And I like Bryant Moniz. I'm not disparaging any of these guys. They played college quarterback. I did not. So they've already got that on me. But, you know, the style of the game's a little bit different when you got a guy like a Bryant Moniz. Just doesn't really throw with a high rate of velocity, okay?
I think he had a Heisman campaign.
He may have.
Yeah, 2011.
Was a bad quarterback, just didn't throw the ball very hard. Had to angle it up to get it out, okay?
Yeah, who's on your all pop gun arm team?
Oh, boy. Bryant Moniz is on Rushmore.
Okay.
He's up there. On a personal level, Tommy Rees is at least in the conversation. You could probably put Trace McSorley in that conversation as well.
You have Horny for Hornibrook.
I've got Hornibrook here. I would probably need some time to really put together a comprehensive list, but I'm willing to do that because this is something I'm passionate about.
Also, just tweet us or email us about who your favorite pop gun. And like, this is to be clear, they're successful despite not having a lot of arm strength.
That's exactly what it is.
It's playing a football video game or any sports video game when like the health level is in the red and they're you have no more turbo kind of thing.
Right. Like, I don't think Tim Tebow would quite fit into this category.
No, he had a decent enough arm. He just had a weird...
He had a weird motion. Yeah, herky-jerky motion, and he was very inaccurate. But I'm talking about someone who just doesn't throw it very hard, but still ends up being somewhat successful. You can make a case for Ian Book right now with Notre Dame. Obviously very successful.
Kellen Moore?
Kellen Moore, yes, probably.
He had
in that.
A pretty good arm. He was more anticipatory, so he wasn't gunning it in somewhere. Yeah.
These are a lot of quarterbacks who rely on timing-based routes to have success at the college level. This was given to me in an ironic sense because I've long had...
Fascination
with the pop gun arm.
Kink? Can I go as far as saying kink?
Sure, if you want. Uh-huh. It's uncomfortable. Okay. I'm grimacing, but yeah.
College... I mean, we did a Hot and Bothered episode.
We did. I'm just never really that into the pop gun arm.
Okay.
I think it's time I let this go as well, because as we saw with Trace last year, as we saw with Ian Book last year, as we've seen time and again with college quarterbacks, having a pop gun arm does not necessarily make you a losing and or ineffective quarterback.
Right.
It might not make you an NFL prospect, but then again, we don't do an NFL show.
Right.
And largely, we don't really give a damn about the NFL.
Not really, no.
On a college football show. So I am willing to take these pop guns. One more pop on the Alex Hornibrook limited edition pop gun. I want to take it and throw it out the window here. Donate it to a kid looking for a Christmas toy. But I think it's had its run with me.
I'm going through all these teams. I don't know who I would. I got to go. I think about this. I have to think about my pop gun arm rankings. There's
Listen,
so
if you give me the weekend dog, I can come back. Dog. With a full-on pop gun Google Doc.
Jake Browning?
Nah.
Okay. He had an okay arm. I think you have good ones. Give it some thought. And nobody with the yips. You can't say Stave.
No? Okay.
No fair. Yips. That's different.
Help me out. At Solid Verbal. Let me know. All gun arm Hall of Fame.
Weak yet successful throwers.
Yes. Where are we going next, Dan?
All right.
You ever open up that kitchen drawer? You know how it's just like, why do we have 8 scissors in here?
Right. Well, here's the James Franklin egg timer.
Okay.
So
why did we have this to begin with?
That's a good question. When you're setting up a kitchen, you need to have the essentials.
Right.
And I know most ovens have built-in timers, or you can use the microwave, but sometimes you want a fallback of old analog technology. Let's get rid of it. This is taking up room. It doesn't, we have stopwatches on our phones. I think it's time to get over relying on James Franklin and timing anything correctly to bake properly.
Yeah.
This is taking up way too much room in the drawer.
Now I can't see from here what it looks like. Is it branded James Franklin?
Oh, his head is on it for
really?
Sure.
Really?
Yes. And it has like his signature. Yeah.
Like it's cruel that they would even make this given his end of game awareness.
Almost ironic, Ty.
A little bit, yeah.
Let's get rid of it. Let's just ditch it.
We're tossing a lot out here.
Yeah. This feels very healthy.
Give me something
else.
What do
you have next?
Give me something else. Go ahead.
All right. I'm going to go with, this one's tough. This is tough for me because there's a usefulness to it that is, for me, going to be hard to part ways with. The Mark D'Antonio crate of tangled digital cables.
Yeah. I had my eye on this too. You want to get rid of the whole crate.
Well, I just need to go through it and figure out what's actually working because there's a lot of use in the defensive cables, but they're tangled with everything.
You've got that frayed lightning cable that I think will still deliver power, but might give you a shock.
There's a lot of problematic offensive cables in here. There's a lot of FireWire, and I don't think FireWire is coming back.
No.
And I should get rid of it. much in the way that this coaching staff on offense should be overhauled. But I just, at some point, I'm going to say to myself, well, maybe Ty's mixer has Firewire and I should bring it on the road. He'll ask me to bring it on the road. And it would be awful if I, you know, get rid of it and we can't find a Firewire. We can't find a Radio Shack or a Best Buy in Stillwater, Oklahoma. I it's hard for me to part with because it has brought me so much use.
It's almost metaphorical.
Do you have a crate of tangled digital cables?
Oh, do I have like 8 crates?
Yeah.
What is the likelihood on a scale of 1 to 10 that you will or are willing to go through that crate and actually throw any of those cables out?
It's tough. For me personally, it's like a 4. I know I should, and sometimes I find myself needing certain cables that I know I probably have, micro USB, that kind of thing, but I just have it for the like just in case moments. And I know by going through it, I'm going to ruin the future for myself.
So when I was moving in here, I went through my house and I found one of those old cables for an iOmega zip drive. You remember those?
Hell yeah, of course.
And I couldn't bring myself to get rid of it.
Really?
Like, what if I need to use it? Yeah.
What could you possibly have
on an
iOmega zip?
Nothing. Nothing. I don't even know where the zip drive is.
Jeez.
Can't get rid of old cables.
Get rid of it. Get rid of this offensive coaching staff. I'm out. Until Michigan State gets rid of this coaching staff, I don't care about Rocky Lombardi. I don't care about any of this. Update or suffer the consequences of me not caring that much. Me not believing in you.
All right. Let's move on.
Next.
Let's rummage through here and see what we can find. Okay, here we go. Here we go. Let's go to our Gus Malzahn commemorative hourglass, Dan.
Ooh, okay.
Here is what I love about this hourglass.
Doesn't take up a lot of room.
Doesn't take a lot of room. Doesn't collect a lot of dust.
Cost $1 million.
Cost $1 million.
Yeah.
What I love about this hourglass, Dan, is there is infinite sand in the top chamber. A $1 million hourglass that never actually runs out of the sand.
Okay.
The time's never up.
The time is never up, no matter how much it looks like the grains are going to start making their way down. Always finds a way to just stop and exist.
A $1 million hourglass here.
So are you, does it bring you joy that Gus Malzahn is somehow able to cheat time? Time after time.
I think it's a question akin to is Texas back, really? I just enjoy the fact that we find ourselves in this situation every year where...
You like the unease.
Is his time going to be up?
Right.
No, they're going to win 10 games. Gus Malzahn is safe. No, they're going to win 7 games. Like
6-7.
This constant push-pull is what keeps me coming back for more and why I'm going to say this sparks joy. Never getting rid of this.
I like it. Okay. It's a nice mantelpiece, a conversation piece. All right. This one's going to be rough for me because as we go out into the garage, I still have this. It's a dusty crate of Mary Kay and Herbalife products with each of them having a big old Oregon O on them. Got a lot of recruiting involved. We got a lot of flash and salesmanship. And whether or not these products are going to get me the riches that I would like to have. And
so we're talking
there's definitely
possible,
somebody atop a pyramid.
I was going to say possible pyramid scheme.
Not even possible, for sure. And it's a matter of can I flip this into results?
Mm-hmm.
I think I can make a decent living with all these Mary Kay and Herbalife products. Decent living. But in terms of becoming wealthy, I don't know. I need more than salesmanship and recruiting. I need to see results. And I can't in good conscience say I'm seeing results yet. I'm going to give it more time. I'm going to let this crate hang around. I'm going to dust it off. But I'm not optimistic, but I'm giving it a little more time. It sparks enough joy in me that I'm going to try to keep recruiting and see where that gets me.
Okay. Ugh. Fair enough.
I feel a little bit icky though, Ty.
It's okay.
I feel a little icky.
No, no, it's okay.
Okay. Lots of colors with all the Mary Kay stuff.
Let's stay out west.
Okay.
We actually have something that might be worth a little bit of money here.
What do we have?
It is not this podcast, as you know.
No.
We have a first edition, an original manuscript of Art of the Deal by Larry Scott.
Ooh.
Larry Scott wrote the original manuscript. So Larry Scott, I didn't know this about him, but Larry Scott was formerly a professional tennis player.
He was. And I think ran the WTA.
Ran the WTA for a while.
Yeah.
Got up to, I think, 69th in the world, I saw, as a doubles tennis player, which is a little funny.
Pretty good.
Something like 210th was his highest rating as a singles player.
What are the big cornerstone elements of Larry Scott's guide to succeeding in the business of conferences? Or is chapter 3 look like one of those sample Microsoft publisher pages with just a bunch of digits and letters as just fill-ins?
I never figured out why it has lorem ipsum in here.
A lot of lorem ipsum.
And why the little, remember the little paperclip guy from the old Microsoft Word? Like, why is he atop the page here on chapter 3?
Right.
I don't really know if there is a strategy, Dan. That's part of my confusion with why this book ever got published.
There's a lot of fire festival to this book. There's a lot of just like, screw it, let's do it and be legends. And no matter what happens, that Larry Scott is going to still sell a ton of copies and run off with some cash. Yeah.
Didn't Larry Scott just get in trouble for spending like $7,500 at the Aria in Vegas?
Yeah, I don't know if it was his money or probably the conference's money. I mean, if we want to get into Larry Scott, I think he's done a lot of things pretty poorly. But there's a lot that's out of his hands. And I talked about this a little bit with, who did we have on? I think it was Bruce Feldman about the Pac-12 and the autopsy. Where it's just like, if USC were awesome 2 years ago and finished out Washington State on the road and made the playoff, this conversation is not as loud. Like, if the top of the conference were better, we're not necessarily paying attention to Larry Scott's hotel room pricing.
Right.
So, Art of the Deal, Larry Scott, I think it's an ironic party gift that I think is worth keeping. Because it's a first edition.
This is something that you take to a white elephant.
Yes.
Do we want to say it sparks joy?
Yeah. And when you're down on your luck financially, you throw it on eBay, you're getting $10, $15.
Absolutely.
First edition.
All right. We'll hold on to that. Why not?
Hold on to it.
Let me rummage through the here.
Please.
For a second.
Oh, I feel like we're making such good progress.
Look at this place. It's
really coming together.
It's spick and spit. So I have this next item in an old plastic container. I probably should have given it a little bit more respect, but
walk me through it.
You know, I moved. Mm-hmm. I have here the ashes of the Big 12 that were donated to us by Dan Beebe.
Yeah.
Donated by Dan Beebe and maybe by our friend Chip Brown as well.
Yeah.
So the Big 12 has, as you know, long been a talking point for all the wrong reasons, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The Big 12 is a fine...
Cincinnati, Memphis, UCF.
A fine college football conference with a lot of history. But there was that moment where we all thought that the biggest teams in the Pac-12 were going to be consumed by like the Pac-42 to create some super conference during all that angst that surrounded conference realignment or the conference
was it
realignment
Texas,
rumors.
Texas A&M, Oklahoma State going to move to Pac. That was, I think those were the teams.
I think it was something like that. It was definitely both of the Oklahomas and Texas. That was a thing. So we thought the Big 12 was dead or that it wasn't going to look at all like it does today.
Mm-hmm.
Two teams did leave the Big 12. So now the Big 12 only has 10. And there are some longer term questions about where this conference goes, what this conference looks like 15, 20 years down the line.
I'm seeing Texas, Oklahoma State, Colorado.
Colorado. Okay, sure.
Yeah, so Nebraska and Colorado leave for the Big Ten and Pac-12, respectively.
Given the success, I think, at the very top of the Big 12 conference, it is really looking like these ashes spawned a new Big 12, something to be a little bit more excited about. Like, maybe these ashes were created prematurely, but also maybe these ashes could be relevant at some point down the line here, given what I think we both agree is a little bit of instability given the state of college football elsewhere.
I think the Big 12 as it stands now, so the ashes have formed into like a like one of the Fast and Furious tiny little cars.
Okay.
It's, you know, a tiny little Honda. What's smaller than an Accord?
A Civic?
It's like a souped up Civic.
Yeah.
They're fun. They're fast.
Sounds like a lawnmower.
There's excitement. Sounds like a lawnmower, size of a riding mower. But in terms of utility, there's not much more you can do with the souped up Civic than race. You're not, it's not super dependable. It's going to break down.
Got a little Nas in that?
Little Nas.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay. I think the little Nas is Lincoln Riley.
Sure.
Or Kyler Murray, for that matter. But it sure as hell is fun, and that's fine.
All right.
So keep the urn, keep the Civic, whatever.
What do we think of the 80-inch OLED here that we have, the Alabama 80-inch OLED?
It's a lot. It's taking up a lot of room.
It's big for the house.
Yeah, it is big for the house, big for the room. Can't look away.
And you know what they say about TVs is that you can always go bigger.
Always go bigger.
And I got to be honest, if you go online, you can find TV size calculators where you have to measure your room. How far away is your couch from where you're going to put your television?
Right.
There are all sorts of online calculators that help you do this very thing. In my house here,
mm-hmm.
they told me I could have a 90-inch television.
Wow.
A 90-inch
wow,
television.
A little humble brag. Yeah.
No, it's not a big room. That's my point.
Yeah, huge room, Ty. I get it.
I'm 12.
You get a Magnum TV.
I'm 12 feet away from where I wanted to put the TV. And according to the Motion Picture Association of America, I should have a 90-inch screen.
How big did you go?
I didn't go 90. I'll tell you that. I didn't go 80.
55, 65?
We went 65. Woo! And that's about the upper Woo! Limit here.
Rockefeller.
But 80 inches? 80 inches, no mas.
You think that's too dominant in a room?
Oh, you kidding me?
You want to be able to see the totality of the room in an 80-inch OLED. Is that what people are buying now?
OLEDs? I would suggest OLED if you're going to buy a big TV.
You don't need to recommend a brand.
That's a pro tip.
Paying us.
There's only one brand that makes it, but that's a pro tip.
Okay.
Go OLED.
What does the O stand for?
Organic.
Ooh. Yeah, I think I'm gonna hold on to this 80-incher.
You can always put it in a man cave, or you could sell it if you're hard up for cash.
Or what was there's a commercial? She shed.
The she shed. Sure.
The she shed. Yeah, I'm going to hang on to this. Jody with an I has been bugging me about getting a bigger TV for a while.
Is that true?
That is true. I have the same 46-inch Sony I've had since 2009, and it's time. It still works, though, Ty.
Okay.
The processor still works. So I have a hard time. Yeah, I understand why people will say it's dominating a room. You know, why don't we treat this room a little bit more sensibly, but I mean, results are results, and Jaws looks killer on an 80-inch OLED.
I don't know.
Okay.
What do you think about the Scott Frost P90X DVDs? You ever going to pop those in?
Oh, yeah. I have it back here in my closet. Hold on. Yeah, there we go.
You ever going to pop those in and see if you can get the full transformation?
Yeah, it's aggressive transformation. Man, DVDs. I don't even know how I would play a DVD. You know, that throwback feeling that you get from Scott Frost in Nebraska.
You can't even pop a DVD in your laptop anymore.
No, absolutely not. Don't have an optical drive. I am going to try and figure out a way to get it done. Like if the videos are on YouTube or something, or I can stream it somehow, I can buy a digital version. But ultimately, long term, I don't think the results I have in the back of my head, AKA an 8-pack.
Sure.
align with reality of what's happening as a 35-year-old dad.
Yeah, Dan. The problem with workout DVDs is that every time you go online to try and find reviews, everything is very positive.
Of course.
Remember Tybo?
I served Billy Blank's ribs in high school.
Really?
Yeah, that's true.
You know, I mean, where's he now?
I assume West Hills, California, but I don't know.
What kind of staying power does this workout really have? What kind of transformational power does it have? Can it transform you in a timely fashion so that you don't lose your patience?
I think Billy Blanks is...
Is it Blanks or Banks?
Blanks.
Oh.
B-L-A-N-K-S. I think Billy Blanks is not like Olsen twin wealthy, but I think he's Chase Daniel wealthy.
Okay. Like,
I have not seen him do much lately. How much is he? Wow, he is worth a lot of money.
He's wearing a yellow singlet on the video that I pulled up here on YouTube.
Really?
Yeah.
Billy Blanks is worth $30 million.
Whoa.
Wow. Good for Billy Blanks.
That might be worth about Scott Frost, to be honest.
So I feel like the results will happen with Scott Frost.
$30 million.
The Scott Frost DVDs. I feel like there will be noticeable, impressive results.
Okay.
Eight pack? Jiggly pecs? Thunder calves? Power glutes? I don't know. I don't know if I'm getting to be an apex predator with Scott Frost Power P90X DVDs. I don't think I'm there. Huh. I'm not becoming DK Metcalf. And thus, I believe Nebraska tops out at 10-2, 9-3.
Interesting.
Consistently. Yeah. Impressive. Huge physical transformation. Turnaround. Eight pack and power glutes. I don't know. I'm not seeing it.
Do you remember the guy from that MTV show? What was it? The one where they want the perfect body?
Oh, and the calf surgery.
And he had the calf implants?
I don't know if that was Made or something. It was a cousin of Made. Yeah.
I don't know what got me thinking about that. We've really covered some ground here. From
Thunder calves.
Billy Blanks to...
It was True Life.
True Life.
True Life. It. And yeah, you Google calf implants MTV, it shows up right away.
I think about that monthly.
Ty, I'm going to read you according to Complex.
Yeah.
And you just, based on these titles, and you can't choose calf implant guy.
Okay.
Complex has the greatest MTV True Life characters of all time.
Okay.
And so I'm going to say True Life, and I'm going to do post colon. I'm going to tell you True Life colon. Okay, you ready?
Sure.
True Life, I have a hot mom. True Life, I'm addicted to sex. True Life, I'm addicted to food. True Life, I hate the government. True Life, I'm a fanboy. True Life, I'm a street racer. Okay, shout out to the Civic.
Sure.
True Life, I'm dead broke. True Life, I live on the border. True Life, I'm a sex offender. True Life, I'm getting unusual plastic surgery. There we go. True Life, I have embarrassing parents. The sequel. True Life, I'm a gamer. Oh, poor guy. True Life, I'm coming out. True Life, I stutter. True Life, I'm an alcoholic. True Life, I'm addicted to crystal meth. Wow, took
Ooh,
a turn.
Deep.
True Life, I'm deaf. True Life, I have schizophrenia. True Life, I have OCD. True Life, I'm addicted to porn. Don't isolate that audio. True Life, I want the perfect body. I think this is the calf implant.
That had to be the calf guy, right? I don't know why I remember the perfect body bit of that, but...
Yeah, that is True Life. I'm getting married. True Life. I have a summer share.
Okay.
I think the clear winner is True Life. I have a hot mom. Because it's somebody talking about having a hot mom. And that's hilariously awkward.
Oh, man.
But yeah, the calf implant guy was wonderful. I've never looked at anybody's calves.
We've got time for a few more things here.
All right, let's walk through this house. We got off topic.
Let's tape up some of that old stuff that we got.
Oh, thank you. Oh,
because we're going to donate all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Let's let's go back to the Big 12 for a second.
Okay.
Do we really need these Lincoln Riley moving pods?
Oh, God, this is just almost pragmatic.
It's pragmatic, but it's taking up critical sight lines in the backyard. Mm-hmm. We want to put a paver patio back here off the back edge of the podcasting house.
Right.
Want to have a nice grill station.
Mm-hmm.
Want to have a good place where our guests can gather and listen to the verbal, as we typically have here at the podcast house, as you know, Dan. But these moving pods, we got nowhere to put the moving pods. They're really at the top of the driveway. They're huge. Mm-hmm. They're an eyesore, and they're getting in the way.
They make moving very convenient, though.
They do.
If you need to move at the drop of a hat.
They do.
Maybe in a colder month. Yeah.
They don't spark joy for me.
Okay.
I think they're very practical. But I think if we need to get moving pods, we can always just call and order more moving pods.
True.
It's not something we need to keep on hand, at least not at this juncture, because I think Lincoln Riley is going to be staying put for a while.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You don't think so?
There comes a time to capitalize on one's success. And let's say Jalen Hurts doesn't work out in the way, he's not in the same stratosphere as Kyler Murray and Baker Mayfield. And all of a sudden, Lincoln Riley's name goes from scorching hot to merely warm. I could see him not wanting to fall farther away from NFL general managers. And not that the money is one thing, because college, you can make a ton of money. That's not a huge deal. He's living in Norman, Oklahoma. It's not a particularly expensive place to live, per my guess. But I don't think if they go 9-3 this year, all of a sudden he might see his name shrink and freak out a little bit. And oh wow, I don't know what jobs will open up in the NFL next year, but you know, Freddie Kitchens is a disaster in Cleveland or somewhere with a good young promising quarterback, and that job opens up. I think there's a chance that this is the last year of Lincoln Riley. Wow. And having those pods around.
So do they spark joy for you?
No, it doesn't bring me any joy. I think we got to get rid of it. It's pragmatic. You're right.
I don't think we need to take them with us into our future.
Donate it to Randy Edsel.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right. Last one here.
To Clay Helton. Sure.
Let's go to our triple option magic bullet, Dan.
Aw. Yeah.
Do you own a magic bullet?
I do own a magic bullet. It was a gift from my in-laws, and I use it.
I got one for my wedding as well.
Yeah.
I feel like it's a popular wedding gift. Maybe we should send one to our boy, Taylor.
If he's into smoothies, if he's into pureeing sauces, yeah.
The triple option magic bullet, though.
Mm-hmm. This takes on like a nice double meaning here, too.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I have never been a fan of the triple option magic bullet.
Okay.
I don't think the thing works the way it's supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
And what I really don't like, what really creeps me out about it, when you get your triple option magic bullet in the kitchen, you plug it in, you flip it on, all the lights flicker. It's like drawing too much power.
Is that true?
It is true.
Oh, okay. I haven't noticed.
It draws a little too much power from the main board, and I'm afraid the whole thing's going to blow up.
Wow.
And it's really not that spectacular to begin with.
It does little jobs. It does little jobs well.
I'm tossing this thing out. I don't think you get longevity out of this. I would rather spend the money now.
If you're cooking for one.
I'm not cooking for one anymore.
I know.
Neither are you. You're cooking for three.
I know. This is true.
Let's get rid of it, spend the money on something that's going to give us a little bit more longevity and do a better job.
I am a big believer in the triple option magic bullet for even decent sized meals. I think it has utility. I think it speeds things up in terms of you can't make a whole meal with it. You can't chop everything for a meal with it. But the reason I'm donating this is not because I don't like it. It's because I don't believe that decision makers at big places believe in it. And so that is, it's just exhausting to look at Arizona hiring Kevin Sumlin instead of Ken Niumatalolo. It's exhausting to look at Kansas hiring Les Miles instead of Jeff Munkin or somebody like that, when so clearly the chopping would get done efficiently and food would get made in a way that is way better and more organized than it would be otherwise. But the chefs don't care. The chefs just don't care. Or the restaurant owners just don't care. And I'm fighting a losing battle here. So I'm donating the magic bullet.
All right.
That's it.
I'm with you, Dan.
Yeah.
So look,
I'm buying an expensive knife instead, I guess.
We could probably do way more of this. You hear? You hear all this junk that's just, I don't know how loud it's coming through on the microphone, but we got a lot of junk up in here.
Yeah, I
got
to go through a lot of this.
A lot of junk.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we can do more of this, but at least for now, the KonMari method. Look at this place. It's already taking on a whole new shape.
I'm just glad neither one of us is going to smell like a sweaty Brian Cushing anymore.
No, never.
No, I think we're done with that scent.
All right. Well, please do write in.
I feel so much more organized.
I do too.
Yeah, this is a weight off my shoulders.
Spring cleaning. Very much a thing.
You're an actual big believer, right?
In the KonMari method?
Yeah. Have you folded clothes vertically?
My life is file folded at this point.
I've donated a bunch of stuff, but the problem that I have that you do not have is once you add a third tiny little human to your household, especially one that's not super large in a big city, it's not my stuff that's taken up a lot of room. I do have some stuff, but all of a sudden your place shrinks a lot. So
are we talking about whether or not the solid baby sparks joy?
The solid baby does spark joy.
Okay.
The
just making sure
all of the toys and rockers and bottles and onesies, that's heavy duty. That's platinum level KonMari method.
You will have your day, sir.
I know. The one thing I really did not realize, this is what I would recommend to expecting parents. Get in a rhythm of crazy organization. Get in a crazy rhythm of anytime a dish is out, you got to wash it real quick and put it in the dishwasher. To like almost become a pit crew before the little one arrives. We were okay. But there are lug nuts everywhere. It's also my second recommendation in terms of be over-organized. Live in a place with a washer and dryer. Whether it's a house or an apartment, do whatever you have to do to live in a place with a washer dryer, because we have one for the first time, and thank God we do. Oh,
all right.
I need Marie Kondo over here pretty quickly.
On that note, this has been fun.
Love it.
SolidVerbal@gmail.com. Let us know what else we should get rid of.
Give us more items to figure out.
Yes, please also tweet us @SolidVerbal if you got any Pop Gun Hall of Fame suggestions. I will be compiling a list before our next show.
I want to know this so badly, this list.
That is for sure. Don't forget, again, solidverbal.com is the website. That's where you can sign up for our newsletter. Find us across all social channels. You can find this show pretty much anywhere podcasts are available. And finally, hop on out, reddit.com/r/solidverbal. It's our subreddit. We didn't create it. We pop in from time to time, but it's a healthy group of fervent verballers, Daniel.
I love it.
On that note, for that guy over there, my good friend Dan Rubenstein, for myself, Ty Hildebrand, in a much cleaner Solid Verbal headquarters, we will catch you all in a week. In the meantime, stay solid.
Peace.